I have heard about this from some of you. I got to admit, I don't watch a ton of television in the evening. I'm pretty selective, not because I'm a virtuous person, but solely because I just don't have time. But Friday night, there was something on television. In fact, it was NBC, I believe. Tom Brokaw had a special on American evangelicalism called In God They Trust. Very clever title. And it kind of explored the ins and outs and every facet, as far as you can in an hour of television, American evangelicalism. Brokaw did a pretty good job, and he talked to some of the brightest lights, including Pastor Ted Haggard, who we interviewed recently. Now, Ted Haggard is significant because, well, he's representative in many ways of American evangelicalism in his own ministry, but also he is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, a very famous organization. We're going to be hearing some audio from that NBC Friday night special, In God They Trust, here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., getting your reaction to it as well. That means it's open lines for the first hour of the program, coming to you live this, is it Wednesday or Tuesday, Craig? It's Tuesday. It's only Tuesday here on Issues, Etc. In the second hour, Mark Tooley and Pastor James Heidegger are going to join us together to discuss decisions yesterday taken by the Judicial Council of the United Methodist Church on the issue of homosexuality. If you've been watching the paper or television, listening to the radio, you might have heard about this story. We're going to be talking to both of them for about a half hour in the second hour of the program. Now, then, we've got some more audio for you. This is, we've been working this afternoon to put together as much as we can some of the audio that's been compiling around the Alito nomination. We talked a little bit about the Alito nomination yesterday. We'll be hearing some of the reaction and getting your reaction as well from 4:30 until 5 here on Issues, Etc. Now, because it's November, that last hour isn't an hour. I'll still call it an hour, but it isn't an hour. It's three quarters of an hour. We're going to spend that last three quarters of an hour talking with Dr. Nathan Jastrom about the image of God. He has written just an unbelievable piece on the image of God pertaining to many things, but we're going to talk about the image of God and bioethics with Dr. Jastrom in the last 45 minutes of Issues, Etc. today. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll start today with some audio from this In God They Trust TV special, Tom Brokaw, trying to figure out, along with his listeners and his watchers, his audience, trying to figure out what this thing evangelicalism really is. And he comes at it from basically two angles. One is what evangelicals believe and then what evangelicals do. We're going to play some of this audio. Some of the cuts are long, some of them are short. But I want you to feel free to react to any of these audio cuts we're going to play for you. You know, I've puzzled over this for a long time, largely because of the occupation I have now behind this microphone. Evangelicalism is a force to be reckoned with, politically, religiously. But what is it? We talked with Ted Haggard on this program some time back, and one of the first questions I asked him was to define it. What is it in its theology? And he said, this by his own admission, partly joking, that evangelicalism spans from Benny Hinn to R.C. Sproul and everything in between. Well, that's a pretty big span. I mean, if that's a spectrum, that is a spectrum that covers a lot of ground, which is why a lot of Americans consider themselves to be evangelicals. But when you meet one, or if you are one, ask yourself, just look in the mirror and ask yourself sometime, what am I? What does it mean that I call myself an evangelical? You know, 500 years ago, I would have been calling myself an evangelical had I been around at that time, because that was the original name self-chosen by Lutherans during the 16th century Reformation. They called themselves people of the gospel, the Evangelisch, the evangelicals. Now, it wasn't long before they were pinned as being Lutheran rather than evangelical, but it was a good description of what the Reformation was all about, a very good description. Well, now it means something very different, and what that is, Tom Brokaw is trying to determine. He spent some time talking during this In God We Trust special with Pastor Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And, by the way, pastor of one of the largest megachurches in America in Colorado Springs, Brokaw did attend a service there at Haggard's New Life Church. And here's a discussion on the worship atmosphere at this megachurch.
A traditional Catholic who comes here, or an Episcopalian, may walk in and walk out and say, that's more concert and pep rally.
That's right. Actually, it really is a rally atmosphere. But we teach the scriptures, we have worship, which are the fundamentals of Christian worship for the last 2,000 years. But I like the lights. I like the fun. I like it fast moving.
Ted Haggard, New Life's pastor, is a 49-year-old graduate of Oral Roberts University. New Life Church is non-denominational, with an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, an exuberant prayer style, and a belief in angels and demons.
Teach me the Bible, the Word of God.
After the music, Haggard takes to the stage for a Bible-based lesson in how to be a good Christian.
Now, this is it's interesting that Haggard typifies the worship at his New Life congregation. Well, he says, we do Bible teaching, we have worship, and that's what Christians have always done for 2,000 years. But then when he talks about the things that struck Brokaw and would have struck a typical Catholic person walking into New Life, when he talks about that, it's, I like the lights, I like the fast pace, I like the excitement. Now, that tells you something. Haggard is but one evangelical, but that tells you something. It tells you that one of the big features of evangelicalism is preference, is what I like. And there are a lot of Christians that have absolutely no problem with this. In marketing, they call it give the people what they want. Or we could say what they like. But is the atmosphere that is created by the lights and the music and the excitement and the pace, is that an expression of anything beyond someone's preference? Now, one thing that Haggard leaves out when he talks about doing things that Christians have always done for 2,000 years. We teach the Bible. We have a worship. One of the things he leaves out, quite notably, is that that worship was shaped by what people believed. And here's the question I had when I heard him say that. What does, beyond just what you like, what does the way that many evangelicals worship say about what they believe? It's very simple. Catholics worship the way they do because they believe the way they do. And Baptists worship the way they do because they believe the way they do. What you believe determines what you do and how you worship. I mean, for that matter, we could apply it to any other religion. Mormons worship the way they do because they believe what they do. Why do they go into the temple for secret ceremonies? Because they believe what they do. Can we say that evangelicals worship the way they do because they believe what they do? And if that's true, what do they believe? Here's Tom Brokaw and Ted Haggard again talking about the absence of sin from the worship service at New Life Church in Colorado Springs.
Most of the churches that I know of, and certainly the ones I attended, at some point you out loud acknowledge that you were a sinner or that you came face to face with the guilt that you may feel.
Right.
I didn't see any of that here yesterday.
Well, we do talk about sin, but see, the issue is Jesus took care of our sin, and Jesus removes guilt from our life. So the emphasis in our church isn't how to get your sins removed, because that's pretty easy to do. Jesus did that on the cross. The emphasis in our church is how to fulfill the destiny that God's called you to.
You're making it easier for them.
Making it easier for them, just like Jesus did, just like Moses did.
All right. We played a little bit of this the other day, and I'm still struck by it when I hear this, that the emphasis, it's all a matter, there's another word that would do well in the lexicon of the evangelical. The first one is preference, what I like. The second one might be emphasis. Well, we don't deny that Jesus died for sinners, and we don't deny sin. And Ted Haggard does not, at least in the basic sense, deny man's sinfulness. If you remember our conversation with him, he did spend quite a bit of time denying that he was sinning as much as he used to, or even that particular day. But it's a matter of emphasis. You see, we could emphasize Jesus, what he did for sinners, but that's done. That's old news. That's easy. That's the preliminary stuff. We've gotten that out of the way, don't you understand? Now our emphasis is on living the destiny that God has for you. And what does that destiny look like? Brokaw asked a very interesting question. You're making it easy for them. And he says, yeah, like Jesus did, like Moses did. Moses made it easy for God's people? Really? A different Moses than I find in the Old Testament. The law, well, I guess what he's saying is that the law, if we've left the gospel behind, because that's done, that's finished, Jesus did that, that's easy. He took care of our sin. Now we go on to talk about our destiny, and if our destiny is shaped like the Ten Commandments, then it's easy. Moses made it very easy, just explained what people need to do to live up to their destiny. So, just tell me, how is that any different from any other non-Christian religion, finding your destiny? I heard an interview this morning, intriguing, with a Hindu, a man in India. And he was talking about the goal of his life. Every morning, he says, I wake up every morning thinking about where I'm going to end up in the next life. And working my way every day as hard as I can to meet that goal, because I know that everything's a cycle. And I know that the next life is what I really ought to be thinking about. So I work every day. I wake up and I have a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. He used those words. Now, he can't be blamed for saying that because he lives in a karmic universe where everything's a giant Ferris wheel, that everything that goes around comes around. That's what he believes. But is it true that Christians can take what Jesus did for us as sinners, say, all right, that's taken care of. Just picture a checklist. Check. Mark the taken care of sin. That's done. Don't have to return to that. When you've got a checklist and you've done something, and you finished it, and you can put the check mark next to it, you don't go back to it and do it again. You don't worry about it anymore, do you? You go on to something else, which is what Ted Haggard says he and other evangelicals are doing. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Another irony as I listened to this was that Tom Brokaw, a secular journalist, notices that sin is missing and feels like something really is missing. Pastor Ted Haggard says, well, it's missing for a reason. We just don't worry about it anymore. Brokaw gets it. Haggard doesn't. All right, here's Brokaw again with Ted Haggard on the myths regarding American evangelicalism.
Pastor, what's the biggest misconception in my business in the country about the phenomenal rise, really, of the evangelical movement in America?
It's not political. It is authentically a spiritual renewal. And people are responding to the goodness of the scripture, the goodness of God's love, the assurance of eternal life. And so it's a spiritual renewal that's taking place and leading to the growth of churches that has political ramifications.
What are the political ramifications?
Well, once people make a decision that God created them, then all of a sudden they value life and they have a higher moral standard.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know that Christians necessarily have a higher moral standard than other people of other religions. I mean, if a Christian, the average Christian evangelical is to be judged upon, and kind of the fruit of their faith is a higher moral standard, is it really true that that's kind of the main, well, he's talking about the political benefit, the political outcome, the main benefit of being an evangelical in the world, a higher moral standard. You value life and you have a higher moral standard. After you decide, interesting word, decide that God created you. But there's a reason why this myth persists. There is. That evangelicalism is largely political. The reason the myth exists is because, well, it's kind of true. Not for all evangelicals, but many of them have a hard time telling the difference between thus saith the Lord and we the people. Now, they can tell the difference if you put the Bible in front of them as opposed to the U.S. Constitution in front of them. They can tell the difference between the two when they're looking at them. But the reason so many people believe that evangelicalism is largely a political movement is because a lot of evangelicals measure themselves as Christians based upon whether they're against gun control and for the Iraqi war and things like that, where there is no thus saith the Lord. And if evangelical preachers are preaching moralism instead of Christ and Him crucified, well, I guess the only benefit there might be in the political realm would be having a higher moral standard. Still leaves you in a bit of a pickle, though, doesn't it? Because having a higher moral standard doesn't mean you necessarily live up to it. You can have the highest morals in the world. The question is, really, the proof is in the pudding. Are you living up to it? And then we're back to that issue of sin. It's such a pesky issue. It's so hard to get rid of. Maybe it's not as easy as Ted Haggard believes it is. Now, this NBC television special, In God They Trust, featured a family that had recently visited Ted Haggard's megachurch in Colorado Springs.
Meanwhile, the Monroe family, who first came to New Life Church to see the Easter play, now is attending a church together for the first time ever.
When I walked in here, sweating bullets. I didn't know what to expect. But it was good. I really enjoyed it.
But while Karen already considers herself deeply religious, Tom is more skeptical, a spiritual seeker.
You know, I try and live my life as well as I can. I think I'm a good person. Do I sit there and pray on a regular basis? Probably not. But do I look for something else? I do.
Tom was raised a Baptist and Karen a Catholic, but like many Americans, they aren't that concerned with religious affiliation. More than a third of modern churchgoers now go to a different kind of church than their parents. That's up from just 4% in 1955.
I think as long as the belief is there in Jesus Christ and they're teaching the Bible, I'm not as concerned about it being Catholic.
The Monroes especially like the fact that New Life offers many activities for their children, 9-year-old Teresa and 5-year-old Josh. And Karen loves the fervor of the young people she sees worshiping at church.
You sit and watch these teenagers down there jumping up and down and worshiping God. I think that is so phenomenal.
And he threw the tablets out of his hands.
The text of Pastor Ted Haggard's sermons recall a simpler, easier time in America and center on family and everyday living. Tom Monroe feels they relate to his daily life.
But as standards erode then, and as sin encroaches into our society, standards are broken down.
And Tom is also enjoying the close study of the Bible at New Life Church.
It's very easy just to go in and you know, read the scripture and interpret the Bible. I like that aspect of it. This past year has been very tough, and I've struggled with it, just questioning myself, is there more to it? Is there more to this life than what I'm looking for? Can God help? Probably. Can I find some solace in you know, the Bible? I probably could.
Notice another theme that's coming out here. And that is the theme of the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the Bible at all. But the theme here is emphasis on the Bible rather than what. When we talked with Ted Haggard, we talked to him about the preaching in evangelicalism. And he just came out and said, look, I think it needs to be more Bible-based than Christ-based. Because there's more in the Bible than Jesus. Now, he didn't say it that way, but that's in effect what he not in so many words, what he said. Look, the message of salvation is great, but there's more to it than that, and there's a lot more in the Bible, and we need to be Bible-based rather than Christ-based. And this poor guy, I feel bad for Tom Monroe. I do. I mean, here is a guy who's in a church going now to one of the largest mega churches in the United States, pastored by one of the most prominent and influential evangelicals in the United States, Pastor Ted Haggard. And he's saying, you know, I'm a good person. Could I be better? Sure, maybe. Could God help? Probably. Could I find some solace and comfort in the Bible? Could be. You know, there are two things that the average seeker believes with all his heart before he ever walks into a church. Listen carefully. There are two things he believes with all his heart. This is borne out by survey after survey and poll after poll. And by the way, those of you who are in kind of seeker-sensitive churches, your pastors know this. They know this little secret. Two things that the average seeker believes with all his heart. He believes, number one, that God loves him. He already believes that before he ever walks in the door. With all his heart. Does he believe he's perfect? No, he doesn't believe he's perfect. But he believes, number two, he's a good person. He's a pretty good person. Now, I ask, do these churches, so typical of American evangelicalism, do anything to dispel the seeker of those two things? Hey, I'm a pretty good person, and God already loves me. Why? Well, no particular reason. He's a loving God, so he's got to love me. Again, what's missing here is this whole idea of sin. Can someone who has a knowledge, are they doing anything to say, no, yeah, let me tell you how God loves you. Not just, you believe that God loves you? There's way more to it than that. Let me tell you how he loves you and how amazing it is that he loves you, because you're not a good person. You're not even close. None of us are. Kind of all goes back to that first question that Brokaw asked him, is, I didn't hear a mention of sin. Well, connect the dots. You've got seekers coming into the church who already believe that they're a good person, that God already loves them. And you've got a pastor in the church that says, well, we don't emphasize sin because that's already been taken care of. That's easy. That's the easy part. We emphasize finding your destiny in life. Will a sinner, not a seeker, a sinner, find any comfort in the face of his sin in that church? What will he find? Destiny? Purpose? A way to take his already pretty good life and make it just a little bit better? Can the Bible help? Probably. Can God help? Maybe. Will he find Christ for him as a sinner? Jesus says, I did not come for the righteous, the already pretty good people. I came for the unrighteous and to call them to repent and to die for them. Those who are healthy don't need a physician, but those who are sick do. When we come back, more open lines, your reaction to this Friday NBC special, In God They Trust.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's what Issues, Etc. regular guests are saying about Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition to the Book of Concord. Matt Harrison says, this edition of the Concordia, with its magnificent illustrations, paintings, notes, and other useful study materials, will make hearts burn with passion for the clear, pure gospel. Dr. Norman Nagel says, the small catechism is a good start, but there is so much more here to nourish, deepen, and defend our faith. And Dr. Beverly Yonke says, Concordia is an essential companion for everyone who owns a Bible. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. You can find out more at our website at issuesetc.org. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
In India, people may live hundreds of miles away from the nearest church and have never heard about Jesus Christ. This Global Minute lets you hear how free Christian literature is creating positive changes. Men and women in India who are trained through the India Evangelical Mission have started reading rooms, offering Bibles, books from Christian authors, and other relevant materials. Hindus or Muslims who are curious and want to read for themselves browse through the books and can ask questions from the person handling the store or room. IEM has started about 55 reading rooms, and most of them have blossomed into local worship centers. Pray for IEM evangelists to start more reading rooms and disciple people who want to follow Christ. Discover why you're needed to pray for India. Now ask for a free brochure to India with Love. Call 1-800-268-0461. 1-800-268-0461. Ask for the free brochure to India with Love.
The Meyer Minute is underwritten by the North St. Louis County Chapter of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, including Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church on Benham Road and Grace Chapel Lutheran Church on Lance Drive.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. The number of our military personnel killed in Iraq has passed 2,000. Your feelings about the wisdom of the war aside, we do honor these heroes who volunteered their service and offered their lives for us. Honoring the dead in another controversial war, Abraham Lincoln said, "We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who have struggled here have consecrated it." Today is All Saints Day in the calendar of the Christian Church. This day commemorates those who have died in dependence upon Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. That is not an easy struggle, to give up reliance on our own merits and depend solely on Christ's. This struggle of faith is often described figuratively in the words of warfare. "And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong." Someone has said the person who knows how to die well is the person who also knows how to live well. Let us hallow the ground we touch today by our Christ-inspired service to others. Oh, may your soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia, alleluia.
In 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Should we be terrified or comforted by this passage? Let's talk about it in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5 with Pastor Curtis Dieterding of Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, next time on The Bible Study, weekday mornings, 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here, halfway through the first hour, it's open lines for your questions and your comments. We're listening to and reacting to some of the audio from Tom Brokaw's NBC special last week on Friday called In God They Trust, an exploration of American evangelicalism, largely an interview, a set of interviews and a feature on Ted Haggard, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. A couple other people in there, and we'll hear from them as well as this next half hour progresses. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you saw this, what was your impression of American evangelicalism as presented by NBC's Tom Brokaw? And if you didn't see that, feel free to react to the audio cuts we're playing for you during this hour as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So the average seeker believes that they're pretty good already. God loves them already. They believe this without ever walking in the door. So the church doesn't need to tell them this. But notice some of the other things they said. This was Karen Monroe. We heard from her husband, Tom, there as well. Well, Karen said, and you might have heard her say this, "I think as long as the belief is there in Jesus Christ and they're teaching the Bible, I'm not concerned about being Catholic. I'm not concerned about a religious affiliation." Now, as long as there's a belief in Jesus Christ and they're teaching the Bible. So, I would expect that these evangelical churches on their websites, when you get to the section of what we believe, although they don't say it that way anymore, they always talk about vision or commitments
or affirmations or something like that. When you get to that section in these churches, it should suffice for them simply to have two bullet points in their what we believe section of their website. We believe in Jesus Christ. We teach the Bible. That's pretty minimalistic, isn't it? Who is this Jesus Christ that they believe in? What has he done? Ted Haggard has already said that the emphasis in his church is not so much on Jesus and what he did. That's all finished. That's history. But on the Christian, we preach the Christ, Christian rather than the Christ, in effect. And you say you teach the Bible. What do you teach? Everyone teaches the Bible. Literally, every Christian denomination of any stripe teaches the Bible, and many non-Christian groups teach the Bible. The question is, what do you teach the Bible? I mean, Satan is can quote the Bible from memory. He does when he's tempting Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, they taught the Bible. Jesus says, you don't even know what you're reading. You don't even believe what you're reading. You're not finding me there. He says to the Pharisees, you know your Bible well enough, and if you believed it, you'd believe in me. So everybody's quoting the Bible. Everyone's teaching it. What are you teaching? See, it can't just be that minimalistic. It really can't. I mean, it sounds great, but it just doesn't work. And I can guarantee you at Ted Haggard's church, there are certain things that he's teaching from the Bible. And the other thing that struck me about that little bite, just kind of off the cuff, is the impression that was left with this couple new to Ted Haggard's church, New Life Church in Colorado Springs, about the way that the teenagers jumping up and down and worshiping God, she thought that was phenomenal. I've got a teenager at home. They jump up and down for all sorts of reasons. You can't necessarily assume that just because they're doing it while the praise band is playing, that they're worshiping God. A bigger picture of American evangelicalism begins to emerge here. I'm learning a few things. Jan calls from Atlanta, listening on the internet. Jan, welcome. We'll get Jan back here if we can. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. So is the average person walking in off the street, who thinks their life is pretty good already, and they're pretty good already, and they're fine with God. Hey, I got no problem with God, and God should have no problem with me. Are they hearing anything in American evangelicalism that would either that would deal with the issue of sin and what Christ did for sinners? Are they hearing anything there? Are they being taken from the position of being a seeker who, I mean, by what they believe already, they don't really need to go to church or hear anything from any preachers, to the position of a sinner who desperately needs what preachers of the gospel have to give, namely the crucified and risen Savior? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Here's Tom Brokaw asking for Ted Haggard's reaction to something that former Senator John Danforth recently said about American evangelicals.
Let me read you what Senator John Danforth, an ordained Episcopal priest, a Republican, says. Many conservative Christians approach politics with a certainty, he says, that they know God's mind and they can advance God's will through government. Is he talking about you?
Well, I think all of us have a responsibility to advance God's will through government, but we are in a pluralistic society. We're not talking about theocracy. We're not talking about some group of religious leaders dictating to the government how to write law. I'm not a power broker. I don't call presidents. I don't harangue the White House.
You don't have to go. Let me call you.
I'll be talking to the White House in another 3.5 hours.
About what today?
I don't know the subject today. We have a regularly scheduled
conference call. They reach out to you.
Yes.
I agree with Ted Haggard that while Christians have an obligation to advance, well, it's not just our values, Well, Christians have an obligation to become involved in their society in general. But don't let anyone fool you. Even though it's not he who calls the White House, but the White House who calls him, the White House is listening. And he knows it. He has a regular telephone meeting with the White House. So you could understand, you really could understand why someone like Senator Danforth would say, look, this is too close a relationship. And while he says that's not him, that's not who Senator Danforth is talking about, he is the one who's on the phone later that afternoon with the White House. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. So you can see how some of the impressions of evangelicalism can persist. Jan is back. She calls from Atlanta. Hi, Jan.
Hello. I'm really enjoying this topic, and I did enjoy that program Friday. It's important for at least the dialogue to continue with respect to evangelicals. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, our Old Testament lesson was from Jeremiah 15, and I'm reading it from the ESV.
Yeah.
And it says, at verse 19, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. I think there's an unfortunate consistency in evangelicals that says that if I am a good person and I know that God loves me, then that gives me the high moral ground. But none of us is saved because we are good. We're saved because God is good. And it is a free gift so that no man can boast.
Jan, thank you very much. Well, what you do see in American evangelicalism, so much of it is a kind of reversing the whole formula that was laid out there in that reading from the prophet Isaiah. Rather than because of the message of law and gospel, because of the message that salvation is for sinners only, that Christ is for sinners only. Jeremiah's formula is the world turns to you. You don't turn to them. But evangelicalism, in large part, has said, no, our job is to turn to the world, and then they'll turn to us. That's a bargain the world never keeps. Never, ever, ever. Paul calls from his car. Paul, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Just one quick thought here. I was just wondering, in light of everything that Tom Brokaw was asking Ted Haggard and his answers, what exactly is it about Ted Haggard's theology and his church in particular that is distinctly Christian?
Well, that's a very good question. Their beliefs, when you can get them to say what their beliefs are, it was a little frustrating talking with Haggard some weeks back, and you kind of felt like you were playing keep away. You ever play that game, keep away? Two or three people, there's a ball, someone's in the middle, and the goal of the thing is to keep it away from the guy in the middle. And I felt a little bit like the guy in the middle. Oh, yes, we believe that people are sinners, and we believe that Jesus came, and that's the message of salvation is very important, but. And every time you get something Christian, you think you have the hands on the ball, it slips through your fingers. Now, I'm not saying Ted Haggard isn't a Christian. He is. He believes these things. What I wonder is, why don't you preach them? Well, he made it very clear that he didn't feel it was necessary to preach the message of the cross for sinners every Sunday. He thought that would be kind of repetitious, more or less irrelevant, and it wouldn't be preaching the whole counsel of God. Again, back to that, he'd rather be Bible-based than Christ-based. But what do sinners need? I know what seekers want, but what do sinners need? That's the real question here. Oh, by the way, I have just written, and I think it's just been published, an article in Modern Reformation magazine on, I can't remember what they retitled the article, The Promise-Driven Church, I think, is what they ended up titling the article. If you get a chance, pick up Modern Reformation, read the article. The rest of them are great in there as well, but if you want a little more depth in what I'm talking about, Read the Promise-Driven Church. It's in the very latest Modern Reformation magazine. Kind of talking about giving sinners what they need rather than seekers what they want. Heresy in the church today. I am uttering complete heresy in the church today. The happiest heretic there is. For it is heresy to say, no, you gotta give seekers what they want. It is heresy to deny that. Okay, here's Tom Brokaw with Pastor Rod Parsley of he's a Word Faith pastor in Columbus, Ohio, on whether or not evangelicals are imposing their values on non-evangelicals.
Some Americans say that conservative Christians are trying to impose their beliefs on the country, but devout Christians respond by saying that mainstream culture is hostile and doesn't respect their values.
You have to understand that we're not on the attack. We're not on the offensive. It was the Supreme Court in Massachusetts that suddenly found same-sex marriage in a constitution. It's a federal judge that moves to the forefront after the people say stop partial birth abortion. We're not, in essence, picking these fights, but we're ready to fight them when they are waged.
Well, he's right. I wouldn't agree with Rod Parsley on hardly anything, but he's right there. When it comes to these cultural issues, it is a bad rap laid at the doorstep of Christianity in general here in America that somehow we're out there on the offensive. That's not true. Maybe we should be on the offensive. But we're not. I mean, it is true that it is the culture, society, that has brought these things up. You don't find a lot of Christians out there protesting same-sex marriage or lobbying state houses against same-sex marriage or looking for constitutional amendments against same-sex marriage where no one's trying to impose same-sex marriage. Who started the fight? Well, Parsley's right. By and large, evangelicals are not out there picking political or social or moral fights. Now, maybe had they, a little earlier, jumped into the ring, we wouldn't have to fight so hard today, but that's a matter of speculation. Here's Tom Brokaw, again with Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, on the issue of faith in the public square.
Pastor Ted Haggard believes that bringing faith to bear on politics is simply democracy at work.
We should not be discouraged because of lively debate, and we should not be discouraged or fearful with religious infusion of ideas into that debate, because that's the way it should work, so that we overall come out with the best idea.
With all due respect, Pastor Ted, people will say that the mega churches, the charismatic leaders that they have, like Pastor Ted and others, and their strong involvement in American politics, they have put an overlay of religious orthodoxy on American politics, because they only support those candidates who meet all of their tests, which are very often quite narrow.
Yes, and that would be a problem if we were a unified group. Evangelicals don't have a pope. Evangelicals don't have a Vatican. Evangelicals are as diverse as the general population of America. So let the debate continue. It's that debate that protects all of our freedoms.
Now, a couple things here. I like the impulse that he's articulating there and on the necessity for debate when it comes to American politics. And he's right. In the realm of politics, the art of the possible, the debate continues, and after the debate is finished, more times than not, you have the best solution. In the realm of politics, where it is the art of the possible. What I cannot fathom is why evangelicals won't debate where things really, truly matter. In the realm of what the Bible teaches. Not what the Bible teaches, the to-dos and to-not-dos. But in the area of theology, they will not debate. They won't go to the mat. They won't even get in the ring most of the time. They think that, and when we talked to Ted Haggard, he said, well, you know, in the church it works out the same way as it does in politics. People debate back and forth, and in the end, it all comes out in the wash. We were talking with Ted Haggard some weeks ago, and this is just typical. about how he would be willing to say, let the lively debate continue. Let's debate these things in the realm of politics. And there I agree with him. He was saying, well, you know, it all kind of comes out in the wash in the church. Where so-and-so goes wrong, someone else corrects. Where so-and-so goes a little too far, someone else pulls him back. And it's a self-correcting system, which makes one wonder how, for the life of me, it could possibly be that for about 150 years, the church in about the third and fourth century was plunged into the Arian heresy. Did it eventually correct itself? Yes, by God's grace. But there was a time when the guy who was fighting Arius, Athanasius, who was fighting this notion that Jesus wasn't really God, the Son of God, eternally begotten, he was exiled from the church. Things didn't correct themselves for a really, really long time. Well, he said, it's all self-correcting. And where Luther went wrong, someone else comes in and debates. And I said, well, as a Lutheran, I got to know, where do you believe Luther went wrong? Not going to do it. Not going to answer that question. Wouldn't answer the question in that interview. Where did Luther go wrong? Well, come on. Let the lively debate continue. Why are you willing to enter the ring and go to the mat in the realm of politics and the debate there, but not in the realm of what the Bible teaches and what Christians ought to believe as Christians? It's hard for me to fathom. We were talking with Greg Laurie of Harvest Ministries, and he said the same thing. After I'd asked some pointed questions about his book and his theology, he said, aha, you're coming from a Calvinist perspective, aren't you? No, I'm actually coming from a Lutheran perspective. And rather than saying, well, I disagree with you, and you're wrong, and we come from theologically two different places, he said, well, there you go. And that was the end of the conversation. There you go. Come on. What I should have done, I kick myself for it every day as I remember that interview, I should have said, well, where am I wrong? The only person, it was just ironic, the only person in some of these interviews who was willing to tell me I was wrong, we interviewed John Shelby Spong, wouldn't tell me I'm wrong. We interviewed Joyce Meyer, wouldn't tell me I'm wrong. She had that kind of, well, whatever works for you kind of a thing. M. Scott Peck, wouldn't tell me I'm wrong. Greg Laurie, wouldn't tell me I'm wrong. Ted Haggard, wouldn't tell me I'm wrong. The only one who would tell me I'm wrong was Robert Schuller. He had no bones about saying, you're just wrong. Now that's lively debate. You know what we have? We have a moratorium in American Christendom on theological argument. It's considered prima facie a bad thing to argue about theology. It's considered dissentious. It's considered contentious. It's considered schismatic to argue about theology. And it shouldn't be. All right, here's Tom Brokaw again. He's visiting with someone considered to be in the religious left, Jim Wallace.
Religion shouldn't be a wedge to divide us or a weapon to destroy us, but it should be a bridge to bring us together on the big things.
Jim Wallace is an evangelical minister and the author of a book called God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It.
God is not a Republican or a Democrat. To put God in the pocket of any party is bad theology. It's bad religion. It's politicizing faith.
But there are those who would say, in response to that, we have a right to have in the national fabric of our lives our fundamental beliefs when it comes to morality or the sanctity of life.
I agree with that. And I'm a person of faith. I want to bring my faith to politics. But God is not in the pocket of one party or in the pocket of one nation.
Wallace criticizes conservative Christians for focusing too narrowly on social issues, saying Christians must work much harder to apply their faith
to a broader range of issues.
The sanctity of life is important to me, too, but I want a consistent ethic of life where abortion isn't the only issue, but capital punishment is, poverty is, HIV/AIDS are, nuclear weapons are, a whole range of things that threaten human life.
And Wallace also faults the current administration for marrying religion to foreign policy.
To say they're evil and we are good is bad theology. God bless America is not found anywhere in my Bible.
Good point. It isn't. And maybe that's one of the greatest naivetes of American evangelicalism, even those like Ted Haggard who have a more balanced political approach. Maybe their naivete, when the White House is calling them every week to talk to them, is that the powers that be in the United States aren't using that association to turn God Bless America into holy writ. It's a good point. It's not any place in the Bible. Now, there's a reason why it's not in there. It doesn't belong in there. Finally, here's Tom Brokaw and Pastor Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals and pastor of one of the largest churches in the country, New Life Church in Colorado Springs, on numbers and on success.
New Life pastor Ted Haggard sees even more growth for his church and for his beliefs.
In the Christian community, people vote every Sunday morning by where they go to church. All right? So right now, during this particular era in my life, I don't want to say this boastfully, but I am winning this election right now.
Well, I guess that just shuts my mouth. He's got all the people. I heard Rick Warren say this sometime back when he was talking to a group in Birmingham, England. He said people who complain about all the number watching in the church don't have numbers. Kind of an argument-stopping statement, isn't it? Hey, people vote with their feet, and their feet are all in my church. So what's it to you? If you will measure faithfulness, or let's put it this way, if you will confuse success with faithfulness, then you'll say things like that. Hey, never heard Jesus say, hey, people vote with their feet, and they're all following me. So nanny, nanny, boo-boo. He didn't. He spent, if you read the scriptures, he spent almost as much time sending people away as he did drawing them in. Go read John 6. People are voting with their feet, and Jesus doesn't run after them and said, oh, wait a minute, I want to win this election. I really want to win this election. What can I do to bring you back? Please, oh seeker, tell me what you want. No, he was there to give sinners what they need. Himself, dead on a cross for them. When we come back, we'll talk about what's going on in the United Methodist Church and homosexuality.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.